Hello, listener. This is Brian, and I just want to let you know about a special event we're premiering in the month of September that we're calling Many-Sided Saturdays. It's basically what you get if you smash together actual play with Saturday morning cartoons. And there is simply no game more Saturday morning cartoon coded than Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast. Every Saturday in September, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern on the Many-Sided Media YouTube page, we are going to be airing our season of Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast. Plus, we will also be airing episodes of the award-winning Yazeba show by Jeff Stormer. That means there will be three back-to-back-to-back episodes of Yazeba's every Saturday morning in September, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. But we are not just airing reruns. No, no, no. On the last Saturday of September, we are going to be premiering two brand new episodes featuring special guests like Jay Stroutman from Planet Arcana, Cameron Stripmatter from The Panic Table, and Olympic gold medalist Lori Hernandez. So tune in to the Many-Sided Media YouTube channel every Saturday in September starting at 10 a.m. Eastern to hear some great stories from Yazeba's Bed and Breakfast on Many-Sided Saturdays. We'll see you there. Hello, everyone. This is Brian, and today we are unlocking a recent episode from our Patreon to give you just a little glimpse into all the great stuff you can find over in the Dice Pool. That's what we call our Patreon. Anyway, recently we have been inviting some very cool designers on to run us through their own games. So recently we've had Felix Isaacs, GM The Wild Sea, Elliot Davis ran us through his latest adventure for Scurry, and most notably for today, we had Caleb Zane Hewitt run us through Triangle Agency. So if you like what you hear, head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. There you will get over 60 hours of bonus actual plays and a ton more cool stuff. Plus, you will help us continue to make this show. But for now, enjoy part one of our three-part series of Triangle Agency. Hello and welcome, one and all, to the Dice Pool.
Splash!
We got some guests here today that I forgot to prep. That every time we say the Dice Pool, everyone says splash. So when I say the Dice Pool, you
splash.
Say
splash.
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 I was a little off.
No, that There's is no the right thing. Method. Go as quick as possible.
Okay, yeah, you really just want to try to beat everybody else.
You want to be first. First to jump in the pool.
Well, we are here to play another game, and this month we are playing Triangle Agency.
Dun, dun, Splash! Dun.
and joining us are we've got the normal crew here of me, Brian Flaherty. We've got Shanuk Tissara.
Hey, yeah, it's me.
We've got Elliot Davis.
Hey, yeah, it's me.
And we've got Abigail Hepworth.
Hey, yeah, that's me.
And we're also joined by another player, none other than Taylor Moore.
Aloha. Hello, kind.
And also to run this game, none other than the creator of Triangle Agency themselves, Caleb Zane Hewitt.
Now that's what I call splash.
We're just nice. Splashing left and right here. Up in here.
Mm-hmm. Getting a rowdy game of Marco Polo going.
Caleb, we are not understating it that we've been looking forward to playing this game for a very long time. And have been following it eagerly since the crowdfunder and now having it in our hands. And we are very excited to play it today.
Thank you. I'm very excited too.
It's going to be great. So let me turn it over to you as our game master to start to open us up into this game.
Yeah, awesome. So who was someone who knew who was assigned to
Elliot? Elliot was.
Okay, great. Elliot, let's learn about your character first.
Elliot. Oh, fun one to start with. I'm Jangles the Jester.
I hate you so much. I'm going to punch you in the face.
We're starting with a real low-key character.
Let's
take it back.
Five slamming doors as we all leave the event.
Five splashes right out of here.
Oh, everyone's climbing out of the pool. It's a mess. Jangles is a court jester from medieval times who got sucked into modern day. Taylor, we okay?
I find the Dark Ages repulsive.
Okay, court jester from a different time period.
From Regency era.
Regency England court jester, whatever time period is. I want the 1950s
court jester. Which court? Which Elizabeth court are we from?
Queen Elizabeth.
Oh my god. Anyway, Jangles got sucked into the modern era and found himself a job at the agency as a clown, and through his time traveling got attached to the Dream Anomaly.
Love it. Many are saying this is the one with the most whimsy, so good.
They're
choice.
Saying he has the most whimsy.
If I had to describe Jangles.
Well, that's a great description for Jangles. What relationship are you making, do you think?
I think I was going to do Who Loves to Take Advantage of Your Naivete.
Okay.
Nice.
And it's going to be played by Abby.
Nice.
Are we in like a city? Is that the idea?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to be in Turnian City, a modern American city of a medium large size.
I think Abby is the roommate who is making me pay rent for a closet.
Yes. Yes, I am. And I missed the pre-pro meeting. So can we super quickly explain what we're talking about?
Yes. So these you will have a relationship for your character who is like one of, typically you'd have three people who are the closest people in your life when the game starts. We're just doing one because only one is going to have time to really show up on this.
Okay.
But basically our very first scenes today are going to be spending time with this person, and you'll be playing this character for that player. I'll give you like a basic idea of what's happening, and then the two of you will play together.
And I'm outside the agency as the roommate.
Yes. Yeah. These relationships are mundane people who most likely don't even know what the agency is.
Amazing.
Yeah. I think your name is Derek.
Amazing.
Okay. A roommate named Derek. Is there anything we want to know about Derek ahead of time, or are we just, are you?
I think Derek has
over?
Convinced me that he's got he gave me a really good deal, and like I should be stoked.
Yeah, cool. And you're, as a jester, you're used to people having a really imbalance of how big their houses are. So that seems normal.
Yeah, I honestly saw the closet and I was like, oh, this is huge.
I can fit 12, 13 of us in here.
Different kind of clown, maybe. Is that what jesters did? So that's great. I think that's plenty. Who do we have next who knows who they are?
I can go next.
Yeah, great. Let's do that.
I'm playing Harry D, and he is
grow up.
You know what's funny? I came up with that as an abbreviation of the word harried, as in like frenetic or frenzied. And then after I finished typing it, I was like, "Ooh, well, oh well." No, he is. His reality is that he's overbooked. He is a divorced single dad who is just trying to take every job possible to get by. And Denise from the temp agency sent him to Triangle Agency at some point, and he became a barista there. And through all of his mad dashing around of trying to, you know, make time for his daughter and also do the 15 to 20 jobs he's doing at any one time, the anomaly that he's encountered is the timepiece.
Perfect.
Ooh.
Perfect.
That's my favorite illustration in the book, is the timepiece.
Yeah, the
anomaly.
It's so cool.
Oh, it's so good.
Kanesha's amazing. Kanesha Bryant did those illustrations. She's amazing.
And then Chinook, you can pick. I've got three relationships and I love all of them. Do you want to play Denise from the temp agency, who's giving me other jobs? Georgie, my 8-year-old daughter, or Jan, my loving ex-mother-in-law?
It's really like there's no wrong answers here.
That's tough. Georgie sounds so fun, but I've played a child before. I'll do Jan, your ex-mother-in-law.
Excellent. Jan, my ex-mother-in-law, she is the person who cares most about my health.
Great.
That's awesome. And then Shenik, do you want to talk about your character?
Yeah, I made a less silly one, I think, than those two bozos.
Oh my God.
My character, shut up, Elliot. My character's name is Kasuni. They are a adopted member of a crime family, the Smiths. When their father died, they became the leader of that crime family. So now they kind of run that whole shebang and do it quite well. They're like tatted up, like full on sleeves of tattoos, look pretty badass, quite intimidating. But at the agency, they're a little intern wearing nice little intern clothes. I don't know what interns wear. Like.
The opposite of a cool tattoo is what interns wear. That's
exactly. Yeah. A fucking dweeb.
A bow tie.
And then their anomaly is the Whisper. They have crafting their own story. And their relationship, I think I chose this one, is my successor to the crime family is my older shitty brother, Gerard, played by Elliot.
Hell yeah.
Gerard.
Also, was that crime family the Smiths like Jimmy Smith or the Smiths like the band?
The band.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Ready to Elliot. So Abby, would you like to talk about your character?
Yes. I'm Miss. I'm a 30-something woman who, you know, she felt like her life wasn't really all that fulfilling. So she started shoplifting to just like feel a rush. And then, you know, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now she's wanted because she stole thousands of dollars worth of things. So her reality is pursued, you know, by the powers that be who, you know, she got away with it, but only kind of. And in doing this, the anomaly that she has become connected with is absence. So she can disappear into the wind. But she is sometimes found that as a woman, she can sort of just, you know, hide in plain sight, which is why at the agency she works in reception. She's the first thing that you see. And so she can take action immediately to decide how she wants this to go. Yeah. Hmm.
Abby, I thought we agreed that we weren't going to talk about your legal troubles on mic.
I felt it was, again, hiding in plain sight is probably the best if I talk about my thefts here.
Any lawyer will tell you, hide in plain sight.
Lawyers are like, you should talk about all of it.
You never stolen. Yeah.
Publicly and in a, you know, recorded medium. Yeah. Yeah. And I am deciding on relationship. And I think the second one, which is knows about pursuer and Taylor, it's you. And I would love some help of figuring out who you are in relation to me and why you know about my crimes and who's after me.
Yeah, I'm the in-house detective for Barney's.
Excellent.
Wow, Barney's.
So this is very much a like Columbo where we both know I've done the crime. You just haven't figured out how to pin it on me yet.
You're the one that got away so far.
Yes. And you'll never catch me. I burned my fingerprints off.
But Abby, I'm the one, I know about the pursuer. So maybe, interesting. I'm not your pursuer. I am a friend who knows about the pursuer.
Maybe you also work at the detective who's after me. And again, kind of know all the details, but you're letting them take point because, you know, they've had a rough year. They need the win. They need a W.
Either that or the pursuer is this big like firm or company and you have not turned Miss in. Those are both options. I love the idea of you being a detective, so I'm happy to make that happen either way.
I was fired. I was fired. I was fired for violence. I was fired for unnecessary roughness.
As a detective.
Yes.
Abusing the bed.
I threw two teenagers down an up escalator. And one of them lost a hand in the part of the escalator that we're all scared of taking our hands away.
Yes.
And so I was fired, but I know I can't turn you in because I'm not a law enforcement. Okay, I'm writing a book about this character. But you're still the one that got away, but I can't actually catch you.
And your name is Detective
Store Detective.
Star Detective Jones.
Star Detective Jones.
Beautiful.
Got it. Detective Jones.
Oh, I also Ms. will also go by Miss or Ma'am.
Got it.
or excuse me. She'll accept all the above.
That's actually really convenient for me because the barista's prime directive is every time I say someone's name correctly, I lose one demerit.
Oh, now, but now it's the quandary of are all of my names correct or are all of them wrong?
That's fair.
Philosophical troubles.
Okay, happy mother. I just wanted more chances to say it. I'm sure there'll be plenty. Would you like to tell us about your character, Taylor?
My character is named Happy Mother, although he will be the first to tell you that you can simply, as everyone else certainly does, call him Mother. Hat Mother is a CEO. He is a supervisor at the Triangle Agency, partially because he doesn't have much of a mundane life because he is not a human being. He was created by a powerful catalog anomaly in the late 60s. And now he has made a life for himself among humans working at the Triangle Agency and is himself bonded, of course, with the catalog anomaly.
Beautiful.
I have so many questions about that, but one is, have you aged during this time, or are you like a fixed point person?
Okay. Fixed. Are we doing physical descriptions?
We haven't yet. We'll get to them. We'll get
okay,
to them.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
That'll be where we start in a second. But who is your relationship?
My relationship is the comedian and Golden Globes host, Nikki Glaser.
God damn it.
Good luck, Brian.
She taught me how to hide among humans because she herself was also created by a catalog anomaly.
Shit. I gotta just look up some Nikki Glaser jokes.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
That's really funny.
And who will be playing my relationship, you ask? It's the question on the lips of America.
It appears to be Brian.
Brian! Welcome.
That's me, Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, you're nailing it.
Star of Trainwreck and I Feel Pretty.
And the host of F-Boy Island.
And the host of F-Boy Island on Bravo.
Okay, well, that's actually what we're going to hold on to. We're going to keep that one. I'm keeping that one in mind.
Oh, Brian, just so you know, before she was turned into a human comedian, she was a goose.
If that helps you with your performance choices.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. It's there.
She was a goose.
Just if you find that information useful, it's there for you.
I like the idea that she became a comedian because she can't laugh because her honk would give her away.
All right. So in this part of the game, I will be basically pointing the camera at a particular character. You'll be given a chance to talk about who you are. We'll do a little scene of your time before you are called into work or on your way to work. And then once those are complete, we'll get started with the mission. That's the normal structure of the game. This part is called Morning Meetings. So let me do a little scene setting, I guess. Turnian City, a bright, gleaming city in the middle of America somewhere. The middle, of course, including a coast and a mountain and several nearby suburbs. Right smack dab in the middle of America. It is a large-sized place with a thorough public transit system. They've got one thing right here at Turnian City. And there are millions of citizens going about their normal everyday lives without noticing that in the middle of the city, the dead center, which is to say right at the point, there is a very, very tall building stretching higher than all the other skyscrapers in the skyline and capped off with a bright red triangle. The Triangle Agency headquarters here in Turnian. But we are not going to start in the headquarters. We are going to start in its shadow. We are going to go to a small apartment deep in the city itself, where waking up with eyes as bright as he would like to have is Jangles the Jester. what I understand is a closet. Will you describe Jangles and your wake-up situation?
Yeah, Jangles is kind of folded in on himself in order to sleep on the floor of the closet, like arms at awkward angles. And as he comes out of it, you hear many bones crack into place. He's getting a little up there in years, been jesting a long time. And he is wearing a sort of dull, classic, medieval jester's outfit that has seen better days. It clearly, he maybe once had copies of this suit, but now it is the only one, and he doesn't know about laundry.
Has not yet learned about laundry.
Yeah.
Well, as your bones crack and you stand, there is a knock on your closet. Derek, your roommate, is here. Derek, who is played by Abby. And Abby, Derek is about to go on a short trip, a job you are not allowed to talk about. And you have forgotten until just now that you have laid no ground rules with Jangles about what to do in the house while you're gone. So this is your opportunity to make sure that Jangles knows everything he has to know about keeping this house in order.
Who is it?
It's me, man.
Derek, hello. Hello, hey. Hello.
Yeah, you're like such a morning person, man. It's hard to get used to.
Yes, I am.
Totally. I feel like you're also an evening person and an afternoon person.
It's all hours, all hours.
Totally. Dude, I like totally forgot about this, but I have a work trip I'm leaving for.
Okay.
And I just wanted to like run over some stuff real quick because, like, you know, I know you just moved in and everything. And like,
and how many surprises would you like when you come home?
Oh, like exactly zero.
Okay.
Would be the ideal number. So yeah, if you could just like, there's, you know, all the upper cabinets off limits, man. But like, have fun with the lower ones. Whatever's in the lower cabinets, totally up to you. But upper ones, yeah, don't touch. That's like, you know, just don't touch them. Okay, man.
Have fun with lower cabinets. Got it.
Exactly. Yeah, lower cabinets are good. You know, the laundry room still exists. If you want to take advantage of that. I mean, you really haven't like gone to see it yet, but like it's down there.
I don't know what you mean.
Huh?
The what room?
What? Laundry?
Do you want to play a game before you go?
Not even a little bit. All right, man. All right. So yeah, again, upper cabinets, don't touch them.
Dick, what is the most expensive item in the house?
I have my record collection and my record player, and like they're just like, if you're gonna, like, you don't really seem like a music guy, so if you're gonna, like, I'd just kind of really rather you not touch them.
No, I don't have any of my instruments, so I...
Cool.
You have instruments like, I could play?
No instruments, and also, maybe just, like, don't touch the record player then, man. Okay?
Sure, I won't touch the record player.
Everything's, like, organized super careful.
Okay.
Jangles, a small horn plays. After learning that you don't know how to use phones quite yet, and they, I assume, stress you out, the agency has provided you with a small automaton brass man who toots a little horn and comes out of a clock in your room to announce that it is time for you to come into the office. He's got a little red triangular pennant.
No. Jiggles, if you could like I know we said you couldn't really put that out in the living room, but like the noise is also kind of a lot.
I have no control over where the young squire goes, but I must be off.
Right. Maybe we'll talk about that like when I get back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can I just say, he sounds like a great roommate. Is
nothing wrong. And Jangles, you make your way to the agency. What is your preferred transportation method to get through the city?
Pratfalling.
As you baby's day out your way through the city, pratfalling from place to place, you eventually come to the base of the agency headquarters, and with one final tumble through the door, the edges of your vision blur and you black out. A short way away from there is Kasani. Could you tell me where you have your meetings when you are like doing crime family business? Where do you host?
It's in the basement of the Jamba Juice.
The one
Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
The original.
Did you bring it here to the
Yeah. Jamba Juice classic.
Yeah. That's what it's called.
So describe for me your room, the room in which you accept visitors, and your appearance here under the Jamba Juice.
Okay, cool. Like the room we have our crime stuff happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you, I'm imagining that you have like a Godfather office. That's what I'm thinking. Is that
Oh,
true?
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
but also
yeah,
it's the, at Jamba Juice.
It's in the basement of the Jamba Juice. So you just kind of like have to go through the back, like into like where the juices get blended, and then there's just like a.
What?
Do they not get blended in front of you mostly?
No. Not classic. Not the first one. No.
That was a later edition.
That was a later
edition. They realized people like their juices being blended in secret. So yeah,
they
go
to the back to blend your juices.
I've never thought about the front-facing juicing being about trust, but it really is.
Yeah. We figured that out. Classic.
Yeah.
So then there's like a door that looks like a fridge. That would have supplies. You open that fridge. There are supplies in there, but then further back in that fridge is another door that leads you to the basement, which is just like a classic little, looks like a brothel almost, but there's no sex happening. It's pretty chill, all cool stuff, nothing
crazy. Then
in what
way does it look like a brothel?
It just like has the lighting, you know, the lighting and the furniture.
Because there's a bunch of naked ladies at the Jamba Juice.
And then there's nobody naked. Calm down, Abigail, you horny fuck. Anyways.
And I'm sorry for going backwards in this flow, but are they doing something weird to the juice?
No. Totally normal stuff happening to the juice. Unless you order us a weird one.
Yeah.
Anyways. You get through the brothel part, and then my office is all the way in the back, and it's a normal office, you know, like any mafia, like a big desk, a little like, you know, figurines and knickknacks, and then two chairs, and then like a gun behind.
Normal brothel, no sex. Normal office, tons of sex in there.
Tons of, that's where the sex happens. That's right. Where the orgies are happening in my office.
Tell me about your gun.
Yeah, it's just a little pistol. Mm-hmm. Hanging mounted on the back wall.
How often do you have to use it?
I haven't shot it once.
Okay. Your
Taylor's dying.
I think it's very funny that a very small pistol is hanging on the wall.
It's just a decor.
Framed your beautiful life.
Just a massive frame.
Pearl handle.
It's like the frame that normally you would use to show off a rifle.
Yeah,
it's very small.
Yeah,
What once there was a rifle there. Your older brother Gerard is here to meet with you about some of your crime family dealings. Gerard, of course, played by Elliot. Elliot, when you are the older brother,
yeah,
and you're coming into this room, will you please describe for me your much cooler gun?
Oh yeah. I think Gerard's got two like matching Desert Eagles that he keeps like very obviously strapped at all times.
Two Desert Eagles?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's so much firepower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think he's sitting in your chair when you get there and then scrambles out of it. When he realizes you're coming.
I can't imagine shooting a Desert Eagle 50 caliber gun with my offhand.
Brian, I'm sorry. Are we gonna nickel and dime this fantasy world?
No, I think it's good.
What's good about this is I don't know what a Desert Eagle is. This is actually really for everybody, I think.
Just a big fuck off pistol.
Yeah, because I'm learning about it. A big, so there, it's also a pistol. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. It's big and sexy.
Yeah.
You are sitting in the chair when you get there. Here's a question. Custany, why didn't your older brother inherit?
Oh, in our will, our father said, Gerard's a fucking moron, so don't let him handle anything.
That's a tough one. That's
so you
a tough
were the
one.
Second choice. That's what yeah. I'm
saying. Gerard, I can help if you need, but I'm thinking maybe you have a... You have found a piece of evidence that suggests you should be in charge. And today is your opportunity to bring that up. Maybe in a safe way, maybe not. But I'm curious, if you need help, if we need to think about it as a group, we can. But that's my thought of what's happening today.
I think Kasani let someone go that like had reached the we take them out level of like fucking up in our organization.
Oh, like just fired them instead of killing them?
Yeah, fired them.
Oh, like we should have killed them. And I was like, we're not going to kill them.
Yeah, like you stopped somebody from like actually pulling the trigger on him and said like get out of here, and I found out because I saw him, or somebody delivered me pictures of him.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so what's your move? You're coming. You're here. You were sitting in this chair. Kasane arrives.
I actually think I, in that case, I don't get out of the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Hey. Get out of my chair.
Yeah, one thing first.
No. Get out of my chair.
Yeah, no, one thing
no,
first.
No, but get out of my chair. No.
Yeah, but one thing first.
Okay, fine. Yeah, do the thing. Do the thing. Go ahead.
All right, all right. Flips open a manila folder.
I'll just stand over you.
Flips open a manila folder.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with this? You see pictures of Doug, the guy that you let survive?
Yeah, that's Doug.
Why is he still alive?
I said, let him live. And I think I'm the boss, so I can decide who lives and does.
That's not how Dad would have done it.
All right, well, Dad's dead, and I'm the boss. Is there a problem here?
Yeah, loose ends sink ships.
Should I take my gun off the wall?
Oh no, I'd hate for you to do that.
You think I should have killed Doug?
I flip to the next page. It's a picture of Doug dead. No, I took care of it.
Oh, you killed Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So I'm thinking, right, that makes me in charge.
No, that doesn't make you in charge.
Wow.
Listen.
You sure?
Yes. You would have to kill me to be in charge. I have to die for you to be in charge.
That's so interesting. Gerard, you would have to kill Kasane to be in charge. And Kasane's never even shot that gun, and it's all the way over there at the wall.
Huh.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so you'd have to kill me right now.
Oh, well, it's a lot to think about. I think he, like, is honestly getting flustered because he thought he had you on procedure. and so I think he's just like, oh,
wait. Gerard, where did you kill him?
Upstairs. You didn't see
in the Jamba Juice?
Yeah, in the back.
Are these the... Did anyone hear? Is...
No, all the blenders were going. It was fine.
All right, you did the blender protocol. Good. Oh, Jesus.
Directly into the freezer is where that goes.
All right, good. The body's still in the freezer then, I'm assuming?
Yeah. You're sure I'm not in charge because of this? Because fucking Tony told me that that's how this would work. If I took care of the loose end, I became the boss. You sure?
Oh, I pull out a envelope and then I pull out a picture of Tony dead. I just killed Tony.
Well, now that is a predicament.
Yeah.
Why don't you take your seat? I'm gonna think about this for a little bit.
Why don't you, the rules are kind of confusing now in this group. Why don't you ask Sal? He might have a good update for us. And listen, okay. If Sal says it's cool and you're the boss, then, all right, fine, you could be the boss. I don't mind.
All right, I'll go talk to Sal.
Yeah, talk to Sal.
All right. This conversation love you. Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
And he leaves.
All right, cool.
And Kasane, you receive a text message from your general manager, Trina, at the agency, saying that they need you in for a field mission immediately.
Ah, fuck. Kasane is like fully like in their like mafia, like blazer, like full arm sleeves, like showing off the tattoos. It's a short sleeve blazer. Those exist. They do.
It's not rolled up. It's a short sleeve.
It's a short sleeve blazer. It's not rolled up. And then
buff?
Like,
are you buff?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then like goes in and like changes and like is wearing like a suit and tie, like fully covered up. Like had like a nose ring. Took it out. Looks very like corporate now. And takes. Opens up their drawer, there's another gun in there, puts it in their waistband.
Is it the same kind of gun?
Yeah, it's the same kind of gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then heads out the door.
Is the one on the wall fake? Is that the reveal?
Yeah. It's a water gun.
I was really imagining that each gun on the wall is like a one-time use thing, so you use it and it only with a new gun. I'm like, yeah, that one's never been shot.
And I'm assuming you're driven to the agency. Is that true?
No, I walk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All on your own.
All on my own.
Then when you arrive and push open the doors, the receptionist waves at you with a smile, and with a sudden darkening in your vision, you black out.
Hey, this is Brian, and I just want to tell you about some cool new stuff from our friends at Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop minis with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your web browser. Hero Forge is constantly releasing new content, and they've just launched their latest feature, custom acrylic keychains. These keychains use the same technology as their color standees and are the perfect way to rep your beloved character when you're out in the world. They are highly detailed, ridiculously durable, and made of 1/8-inch thick acrylic featuring front and back color printing, measured on the same 30mm scale as Hero Forge minis and standees, which means they will be a one-for-one match for your heroes on the battle map. Plus, Hero Forge just released stainless steel minis. These are perfect for anyone who is looking for the retro feel of old-school minis. These stainless steel minis have a textured finish and a rugged, highly durable feel. So visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom keychains and steel minis today.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
Next up, we are going to a casting room. There is an office building in Midtown Turnian that has a long line outside of it of very buff and tall and beautiful men who are all lined up in with varying amounts of shirt on their way into a building. And as we go through the window of that building into this like large...
Ow!
Yeah, into this... we go through, it shatters, we become littered with flecks of glass, and we see, turning around for a second and telling you to shush, Nikki Glazer sitting at a table next to Happy Mother. Taylor, would you like to describe Happy Mother for me?
Happy Mother is 7 feet tall and 4 feet wide. He's an enormous older man with like beautiful, like Mark Twain. Like he's one of those old guys that you look at their hair and like, how did you keep that much hair? No one's got that much hair when they're as old as you. This beautiful Mark Twain-esque, like bright white Nimbus hair. He's got sort of a ruddy reddish complexion, like he had a sunburn a week or two ago and now it's becoming a bit of a tan, and he's got a huge white mustache and he's chopping on a giant cigar, bright orange embers glowing at the tip. He's wearing a beautiful like crimsonish maroon, it's impossible to place the color, velvet suit jacket, and a very nice silk shirt and a bright orange paisley cravat. This is someone who looks fantastic. But I don't have to tell you because I already told you with description, which is like Narrative Audio's version of showing, not telling. But here everything is telling, if you think about it.
Welcome to podcast.
He takes a cigar out of his mouth. Nikki, I love you, honey, but we've been here for 4 hours. You have got to choose one of these shirtless boys.
I mean, listen, if I'm going to have a new host for my new show, or a new like sidekick for my show, it's got to be the buffest, the hottest, the coolest, and the funniest. And so far, I'm getting two of the three at max. And, you know, I want it to be perfect. I've tried shows on HBO. I've tried shows on TBS. I've tried shows on, I'm going to say ABC.
Burn! Got him, Nikki!
But you know, I feel like this is the one. You know, this is going to be the one I'm really trying. I'm doing my own Netflix show. And finally, I think I'm going to be making it the big time.
And what's the name of this one again? God, I can't remember.
It's F-Boy Submarine.
Right. America's crying out for fuckboys on a submarine. And by God, you're the woman to give it to them. Now, come on, let's just pick one. I know I'm an assistant producer on this project in name only. I'm here as your friend and moral support. God knows you helped me for so many years when I first became a human being.
I know. And you know, I figured my own transformation was difficult enough. I figured I got to, you know, pass on my knowledge and stuff. Because I honk. Sorry. When I get excited, I'm so nervous. And when I get this nervous, see, I can't be this nervous when I'm on a submarine, because let me tell you something. Geese do not fare well on submarines. Okay.
I couldn't so be I, in a submarine.
No, you could. And you were my first choice, but then they showed me the dimensions of the submarine. And so the problem with some of these buff guys is they're too buff that they won't fit through the doors. But the ones that aren't buff enough.
Excuse me. Can I stop flexing now?
No, we need at least another 2 minutes of flexing to know if you can handle the job.
You got it.
Yeah, Nick needs to see you a hard.
You got it. Nick.
That's true. Yeah, I need everything to be as hard as possible. And can you just keep turning as well?
Mm-hmm. Is it true that how tall is the submarine? Because I'm like 6'4", and if I have to crouch all the time, I get these little belly rolls, and it looks a little different.
Can you show me what a belly roll would look like? We're not taping this. This will just be between you and me.
Oh, sure. And this guy sort of like crouches over a little, and his description of a belly roll is a vast over-exaggeration.
All right. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for it doesn't look like it's going to work out this time, but I'll grab you. Maybe for the next one.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And the door closes. I turned it. Nikki. That was the most beautiful barrel roll I ever seen. The amount of shirt that boy had on, my God, he was rock hard as diamond on his whole body. How can that not be the one? Something's going on with you. Dish.
Can I be honest with you? Can I be really
You
brutally...
better be. After all we've been through together, you better be honest with me.
I keep looking at all these fine men, and I keep seeing they're hard and they're chiseled and they're firm. And I keep looking... not at their bodies, not at their faces. I keep looking at their feet. I keep wanting some webbed toes, and I'm not seeing them. Like, that's what would make me comfortable as a performer, is seeing someone else with webbed toes. And I can't find it. They're too perfect.
Nikki, oh, I believe at long last, the student has become the teacher. As you guided me for so many years when I first became a human being, let me guide you now.
Okay.
You're acting in the goose manner. Humans do not desire to see webbed feet. That's your old self talking. You need to be producer, Nick. You're exec on this thing. Think about your responsibilities. Now, I don't mean to put any pressure on you, because I don't think there's any pressure at all. I think you could sail right through this if you just embrace who you are now and not who you were in the past. Can you do that, Nicky?
You know, when you put it so simply, it makes so much sense. But when I'm in my own head, yes, I can do that. Let's look at numbers 22, 463, and 87 again. And I think between those three, we're going to find our one.
Ha! Huh, that a girl. All right, send in the three. Are we allowed to live?
The boys walk in, and knowing exactly what they need to do, take off their shirts, turn around, and written on each of their backs is the phrase... Mother, you are needed at the Triangle Agency.
Oh,
interesting. Interesting choice.
Yeah, that's
mother,
weird.
You are needed.
Completely unrelated, Nikki. I have got to go.
No worries. You know what? I'll say I'm going to make a couple more decisions here. But sure. I'll see you back here maybe later tonight.
Making decisions on your own in a human manner. Now, that's an executive producer if I ever saw one.
No. Oh, thank you.
I gotta run, but you stay here to run the dang show.
I will. Mother, can you turn around? You are needed at. You can go. And Triangle Agency, can you flex a little bit harder for me? I just want to see what's going on there.
Okay, I can't tell you why, but I gotta leave through the window and the fire escape.
Luckily, it's already broken. how do you, Mother, how do you make your way to the agency?
I go to the fire escape, and I simply throw myself off it. And I land in a dumpster that is, of course, a bunch of wet mattresses that were thrown out. Wasn't there 5 minutes ago, but suddenly it is there now. Oh, and what's this? A bus? There's not a bus stop here. The bus driver was confused.
Yep, as you get right in, you ride the bus to the agency. The doors to the agency swing open, and the second your head crosses that barrier, you feel the edges of your vision starting to fade. But you, Mother, have a moment before you black out. What's the last thing you do?
The last thing I do is I stick my head back out the front door and I look up at the sky one last time. For you see, before he was a human being, Mother was a sunset.
Oh my God.
And in purples, reds, pinks, and oranges, the edges of your vision swirl in, and that sunset turns to night. Next up, we have Harry.
Yep. Hey, how's it going?
What is a great example of the way your health has been harmed by your behavior and your choices?
Yeah. So, I'm just always kind of running around and I've got so many jobs and Denise at the temp agency keeps me, really busy. Thank God, because I need every little bit, every hour of OT I can get, I'm taking. So really, I'm just really utilizing caffeine in an unsafe manner and not hydrating enough. So in the words of my Brian's real life wife, my blood feels a little weird. And that's just kind of a thing that you just live with the whole day. It's not like it doesn't come and go. So he's always kind of looking a little bit sickly, a little bit pale, very overcaffeinated. His eyes are wide and bloodshot. His smile is plastered on in the very like customer service way. And all of his clothing is like he has like 10 of the same OK suits from like Banana Republic or something.
Yeah. Well, Harry, then as you stumble into a coffee shop to get your mini-th coffee of today, you find standing there, already waiting for you, your ex-mother-in-law. Chinook, you are playing as Jan, and you're by yourself, but it's time for an intervention.
Harry, well, hey.
Jan, did I miss? Is it book club day? Did I forget?
No. Harry.
Yes?
It's time we talk about your problem.
Which one?
Well, all of them, really. But you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta stop. All of it.
No. See, listen, it's fine, because I come here, I get a triple espresso with five things of sugar, because I need it fast and I need it sweet. And then I get a pound cake. And so when you're adding in the calories, it negates the bad effects of the coffee. And then you can
No. Listen, my daughter, Jess, she divorced you because of this shit. And listen, I love you. I love you a lot. I would like you to continue loving my daughter. Maybe give me a grandbaby. But that's for another day. You need to stop this so you can go fuck my daughter is what I'm trying to say.
Listen, Jan, I have always loved that you're a straight shooter. You're my favorite ex-mother-in-law.
Yeah.
For sure. And
wait, are there others?
You know what? We don't need to read into it. You're my favorite ex-mother-in-law. I care about you deeply. And I see that you are trying to care for me. I see that you are looking at me and seeing something bad. But I got to tell you, you're just seeing me. You're seeing one part of me. You're just seeing this one face of me. Really, deep down, everything's good to go. A-okay and totally fine. I'm just trying to take as many jobs as possible so that I can, support the daughter that I do have. And also, hang out with you and be able to maybe... maybe patch things up with Jess. That would be nice. I'd love to. If she wants to talk, I'm available. Maybe 1 hour on Tuesday. I have some free time. And then maybe if we want to do a short coffee on Wednesday morning. I can maybe make time for that. But then otherwise, no. Otherwise, I'm kind of booked up.
God. Like a cortado.
If someone, told me they can only do a short coffee, I would hang up.
Listen, Harry, you're really going about this all wrong. Now, look, I got your doctor's reports from your doctor.
Oh, that's so nice of you. I was never going to have time to pick those up. Yeah, I was just going to assume everything's fine.
It just says bad. It just says bad on it. Everything's bad.
Are we sure that's not an acronym for something?
No. Look at this. It just reads vitals, bad. STIs, bad. Face, bad. It's just bad.
At least one of those feels like it's just a judgment.
Yeah, I'm holding up the paper.
As your finger is going down, it glances past after face bad. There's a line that says, Brian, you need to report into the Triangle Agency office bad. Or not Brian.
I'm pretty sure.
Is that? No. Harry. Sorry. Yeah. Harry.
You know what, Jan? Now that you show me this, I actually see something in here that I should address immediately. So I'm going to take your advice. This has gotten through to me. I want you to know that you right now have gotten through to me. I'm going to take some
action. Jess. Great. We'll do another wedding on Thursday. Good.
Oh, no. Thursday's not good for me. Maybe, again, Wednesday morning, but it has to be a really short
wedding. She's on the phone. Jess, you're never going to believe what happened. I fixed it.
You know what, Jan? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to have to do this. I've actually got to run because I'm already late for my next appointment. I'm just going to take this shot of espresso real quick.
Wow!
Okay, yeah, I gotta
that was a disturbing noise.
Yeah, wait, why'd it do that?
Why do you? Oh my God.
He's been actually speaking with Jangles too much.
Speaking of the sound, actually, Harry, could you describe the shot for me in as much detail as you'd like?
Harry hates coffee. He hates the taste of coffee, but he needs it as strong as possible and in as small of an amount as possible, so it's as sweet as possible. So he has a triple shot of espresso that is at least a third full of just sugar in the raw. So it's not even like fully dissolving. Is also throwing a little bit of milk on there and is like fully plugging his nose and shooting it back.
Even with all of that, you're still plugging your nose.
Yeah. Absolutely hates it, but sees it as the medicine he knows it is.
For a moment, despite all of the blocking and the sugar coating and the deliciousness that you have added, it cuts through the bitterness and you feel a sharp pain of disgust at the shot that you're taking. And then how do you make your way to the agency?
I run. I feel like, yeah, I run. Or you know what? I've got a fixie bike that has one of those giant padlocks on it that I ride all around town. So the first thing I have to do is roll my sock over the one pant leg and throw on a helmet and book it out of here. Also, on the back of this bike has a little child's car seat thing.
Cool.
And nobody's on it right now.
Nobody's on it right now, no.
Well, you bike to the agency, and there, the bike racks that they allow you to set up your bike at are actually inside the lobby. You're supposed to take it in. Do you have a habit of doing what you're supposed to do, which is like stepping off and walking it in, or do you bike straight in?
I am late, so I'm biking straight in.
Okay.
My kind of approach to jobs in general is I'm going to do it how I'm going to do it. I've got enough churn that it'll be okay.
So you are riding your bike straight through the doors, and the second like hitting a wall, your vision blanks out into blackness. And now that means we have one person left. And Miss, you are an interesting case because you are already working. You are inside of the agency lobby.
Excellent.
And having sussed out your workplace and come to talk to you directly is none other than the former, was it Barry's in-house detective?
Barney's.
Barney's. Yes, okay.
No, it was Barry's.
Is the in-house detective Jones. Jones, you can have this one.
Excuse me, miss.
Oh, hello.
It's me again.
Hello, detective.
Brought you some coffee.
Oh, thank you.
Here you go.
Drink it right away. And she
just like you like it.
Throws it over her shoulder.
Yeah, that one was
delicious.
Empty.
Ha! Yeah, I see you've caught on to my ruse.
Yeah, well, this is, what, 22, 23, 24 times?
It's funny that we keep running into each other like this.
Well, my wife doesn't think it's funny at all. She wants me to get a real job again.
Oh, that's right. You were let go.
I was let go.
Unable to figure it out. Or was it the violence?
I cost a teenager her hand.
That's right.
The store actually donated a mannequin hand to her family.
Ah, what a spectacular treat for her.
It was not.
A perfect mannequin at all times.
Nah, they have much better hands at like hospitals now. No, I just wanted to come by, let you know I still got my little peepers on you. And here is your real coffee. This one's got coffee in it, don't throw it. It's the way you like it. Agave. Oh.
Excellent. Thank you. And she throws that one over her shoulder as well. Oh.
I'm still surprised after all these years.
I'm always one step ahead, Detective. Don't you forget it.
Well, I found this place, and let me tell you, it was a doozy to find. Not easy.
What place are you talking about?
This place. What exactly do you do here? I couldn't find any records.
A place?
Of here, place? Yeah.
Where? This.
Detective Jones, do you have any weapons? Do you arm yourself in any way still? Or do you have a taser you never gave back?
Sometimes former store Detective Jones will put his hand in his pocket and put his keys between his knuckles in case it comes to what he calls fist key cuffs.
God damn it.
You're hit with a wave, Detective Jones, of the strong feeling that a one round of fisky cuffs could resolve this for you forever. How do you handle that feeling?
Listen, I gotta tell you, I'm at the end of my rope here.
Detective, you're getting very red in the face.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of things. I'm getting heat from the wife back home. You know, finding you this time, it took the longest it's ever taken. It's not like the water park. It's not like the summer camp. It's not like when you were a museum docent. Took me six weeks to find you here.
You found me real quick that time.
Yeah, well, you know, museum public records.
That was a mistake.
Look, I can't keep doing this. I gotta get a job. You know, I got the plantar fasciitis. I need health insurance. I can't spend all my time hunting you down. This is over. This is it. You're
going to
give them back?
Find some shoes, if you...
I don't want to find some shoes. I want to find the two chemises you stole from Barry's department store in 1998.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes,
Detective.
You fucking do. And I bring out my fisticuffs.
And in that moment, you black out.
Both of us? Or just one of us?
Miss, you black out.
You hear a jingle-jangle sound and a swoosh!
And your vision clouds and you vanish. And that is the end of our morning meetings. Is it okay if we take a quick break? A tiny one?
No.
Okay.
And that is it for this Patreon preview. If you want to hear the other two episodes in this series, as well as like 60 plus hours of bonus actual plays, just head on over to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and become a member of the Dice Pool. We'll see you there.
If you're hearing this, that means you have listened to every last second of this episode, and that probably makes you a fan of this show. Well, if you're a fan and you like what we're doing and want to help others find it as well, then consider leaving us a 5-star review over on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Getting more ratings really does help more people find the show, and reading your nice words about the things that we put out into the world makes us feel all warm and good inside, and we want more of those good, good feels. So head on over to your podcast player of choice and leave us a 5-star review. Thanks.